You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
A couple of years ago, we had a puppy named Savina, a dog that my wife and I purchased for our kids, really for the family. And it was a terrible dog. Savina was a typical puppy in that she chewed everything and destroyed everything. But there was something uniquely terrible about Savina. And honestly, as a dad who is not in love with animals in general, it was a challenge. So one morning when Savina ran out into the street and got hit, I have to admit, I was not terribly disappointed. But it was before school, and so it didn't take very long. We were all gathered there around Savina. My heart was sad for the kids, really. And there was a moment of concern because my daughter knelt next to the dog, and it was the end of the dog's life for sure. And she began to pray, and she just began to pray a very simple prayer to the Lord. You know, Lord, would you heal the dog? Would you bring her back to life? I have to admit, in that moment, I prayed my own prayer. I kind of prayed a prayer that was against my daughter's prayer. Lord, please don't answer that prayer. Please let Savina just go ahead and leave this earthly plane. And I prayed that prayer because I know that prayer is powerful. I know that when Madeline prays a prayer in sincerity of heart, she prays to a God who hears our prayers, who is able to do all things, a God who can move mountains. He heals bodies. He changes the course of events. He changes lives and destinies in just a moment. And prayer is this incredibly powerful tool, a way that we access divinity, a way we plug into God and what he wants to do on the earth. And it's something we should never take lightly. And it's something that we have to seek to understand more deeply. And yet it's so challenging for us because it's so overwhelming to us. Prayer is essential to the Christian life. It's one of those key pieces of who we are as followers of Christ. And yet many times we don't understand how prayer works. We're so intimidated by it. We know that we've got to be doing more of it, and yet we're often just feeling like we're failing at it. Today we're going to begin our series called 40 Days of Prayer. For the next 6 weeks, we're going to be, as a church, we're going to be in groups studying this topic. We're going to be speaking about it on the weekends, and we're really going to be seeking to be a church, a house of prayer, a church that grows in the area and the skill and the ability of prayer. I'm convinced as a pastor that prayer is so incredibly important for us that we've got to press into this. Now, personally, I just feel like I'm not very good at prayer. I don't feel like this man is a prayer expert by any sense of the term. Now, I know how to pray, prayed most of my life. I've learned how to pray in a way that is even impressive, I think. I think I could impress some people, at least for 30 seconds, 60 seconds. I can pray a nice prayer, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting good at communicating at a deep level with the Father, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we have to get good at. That's what we have to press into. And I want to invite you during this next series, during this next season, as we focus on prayer, to really stretch into this arena, that you would decide, I'm going to grow in this area, that you would get plugged into a group, that you would be a part of the curriculum, that you would begin daily to press into this thing called prayer. I want to talk to you about, just from the very beginning, a beginner's guide to prayer. Where do we start other than at the beginning? With a subject that's so vast, we could do a search, and I did. If you do a search on Google and you just type in prayer, it's not very helpful. Something like 882 million results come up in the search box. And so I just want to simplify things for the next few minutes to you and start at the very beginning and in some very basic but very important foundational thoughts about prayer that I think will be helpful to you. And so if you would, you can pull out your notes if you want to take notes today. They're also usually on YouVersion in the Notes tab. They're under Events if you want to follow along in that way as well. Let me start with this, just to talk to you about two big conclusions that I think we could make about prayer. When we're talking about this subject, I would conclude these two things. Number one, we're wired to pray. As human beings, there's something inside of us that is set up for prayer. It doesn't matter who you are, where you were born, where you came from. All of us, no matter where our cultural background is, there's something inside of us that just wants to pray. Many times we don't know who to pray to. Many times we don't even believe in God or not sure he's listening, and yet we find there's a desire in us to pray, to call out to someone that's greater than us. The second thing, I think, the second conclusion we can make is that we're not very good at prayer. Not only are we wired to pray, yet we're frustrated in prayer because we're just not very good at it. There's very few people that will brag about their ability to pray. It's just not something that we do very often. And yet it's a very a personal thing in that we know we should press into it. We know we need to grow in it. And yet we find that we just somehow are not very good at it. Now, I think that one of the reasons we're frustrated with prayer is because we misunderstand or we have some misconceptions about what prayer is and how it works. And you may have heard some of these, and I think some of them are very common when we talk about this topic. But the first is this, is that we tend to believe that prayer is a magic wand. And it's not. Prayer, God is not a vending machine. It doesn't give us everything we want. We don't just put in the prayer buttons and the 25 cents and get what we desire. There's something about prayer that's much more than just an incantation or a wand that we wave. There's this thing that we tend to fall into, this concept of abracadabra, right? Harry Potter, we wave the wand and something happens. The very word hocus pocus, I found this interesting. Hocus pocus actually comes from the Latin, and it is a version of the Latin Mass as the priest lifts up the body of Christ during the communion ceremony. He actually prays, and then he says, "This is the body of Christ." Now, in Latin, that phrase is something that sounds very similar to hocus pocus. It's actually literally hoc est corpus meum. And some guy in the back row must have heard this phrase, not knowing Latin. It sounded to him like hocus pocus. And now suddenly there's this incantation, this magic wand that we say when we want to turn one thing into another thing, when we want something to change that needs to be changed. Hocus pocus, oh, that it is. And we have that tendency as well. The second misconception I think that we have is we tend to think of prayer as a fire extinguisher. We pray when nothing else works. We pray when we're at our wit's end, right? When we finally go to prayer, everybody else goes, "Oh my gosh, is it that bad? Are we fine? we're going to God now? Oh, this must be serious," right? Prayer is not a fire extinguisher. It's not something that we go to as a last resort. It's not something we go to when we don't have any other answers. Thirdly, prayer is not a tug of war that we are engaged with God. We're not wrestling answers out of God. We're not fighting with God to get what we want. And yet we seem to have that conception that if I can outlast, outwear, out-ask God, then finally he'll just be so frustrated that he answers my request. Jesus actually tells an amazing parable about the Father and the Father's desire to answer our prayers. And he actually says, listen, the Father is not like a judge who does not want to answer. He says, actually, the Father is the kind of God that wants to answer prayers. We're not engaged in this tug of war with God where we're trying to outlast him or out-ask him. Fourthly, prayer is not a ritual to relieve guilt. Some of us learned maybe early on prayer in this way. Prayer is a ritual that when we've done something wrong, we've committed a sin, and we need to get back in God's good graces, maybe we repeat a prayer so many times, or we feel like we've got to say the sinner's prayer one more time. Lord, would you please forgive me? Would you come into my heart? Would you please save me? And we have made many times prayer into a ritualistic ceremony that we tend to fall into in order to get rid of our guilt and cleanse us of our shame. Though when we have those misconceptions about prayer, what we end up doing is we end up stepping back from a good understanding of prayer. We don't have confidence in what prayer is. And so I want to give you four foundational truths about prayer and how it works. And I think these are going to help you, they're going to set you free in some ways from some of perhaps the misconceptions that you've had. I know as I studied this material that some of them just really reminded me of how simple, really, not easy, but how simple prayer is and how often I have made it into something that it's not. And so some of these, I think, might hit you hopefully in that way. The first thing I want to talk to you about in terms of foundational truth is that God loves for me and you to talk to Him. God loves to hear our voice. As much as that maybe surprises you, because we think, I tend to think like, well, why would God want to hear from me? But the truth is that God loves you and me so much that He actually wants to communicate with us. He wants to talk to us. Prayer is really, it's a form of communication with God. It's a form of relationship with Him. And He wants to be in relationship with His sons and daughters, and He wants to hear our voice. He wants to hear us talk to Him about our desires and our frustrations, how our day is going and how our life is going. Look at this verse, Psalms 103, verse 3 says, "The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who reverence Him." Now, when my kids want to talk to me, when I'm at my best, I have to say, sometimes I'm not at my best and I'm short with the kids or I don't give them time. But when I'm at my best, I always want to hear what my kids have to say. I'm interested in finding out more about their lives, about how they're thinking, about how their day went, about their friendships and what's going on, their dreams for the future, and their hopes for what's going to happen, their disappointments. And I want to know all about their life. Why? Because they're my kids and I love them and I'm engaged in a relationship with them. And anything that they have to say to me, I am interested in. It doesn't even matter what the subject is. If I can spend time with them and I can hear their voice, there's something incredibly beautiful about that and powerful about that. And that's the Father. That's Father God. That's even more so, our perfect Father in heaven wants to have that kind of relationship with us. He's never exhausted by talking to His kids. 1 John chapter 5 says it this way in verses 14 and 15. We can be confident in approaching God, knowing that He listens to us whenever we ask Him for anything according to His will. Many times we don't feel heard, right? We don't feel heard by the people around us. Maybe we don't feel heard by our family. We don't feel heard at work. And I just want you to know that Father God wants you to feel heard. He desires to hear the cry of your heart. He wants to express your intimate thoughts, those things that are going on in the depths of your heart, those things maybe that you're afraid to express to other people, or maybe when you have tried to express them, your friends haven't listened, they haven't given you the time. That's not the Lord. He wants to hear you. It goes on to say, and since we know that He hears us when we make our requests, then we can be sure that He will answer us. So this is not a thing where we're wondering whether or not God is hearing our prayers. We don't have to doubt that He actually is listening. God is never distracted. That's what's so amazing. He's never distracted by something else, somewhere else. Because He is omniscient, omnipresent, He is always available to us, and He's always interested in us. And there's never a moment when He goes to sleep. There's never a moment when He gets somewhere, He's going somewhere else and He's doing something else and He can't listen to us. He's always saying to us, yeah, come on, I want to hear what you have to say. And so we have to freely give our requests and our prayers to Him. Prayer is a conversation. It's not a ceremony. There's not a set rule or rigidity to our prayers. It's really one long conversation that we're having with God. Prayer doesn't just begin with oh Lord or dear Lord and end with an amen. This is a long-term relationship that we have with God where we're just adding chapters, these many conversations to our ongoing talk with God. And many times we put it in ceremony terms. We feel like, well, if I don't put it in the right format, if I don't do it in the right way, then it won't work. And we fall again into that magic wand, ritualistic concept of God. Prayer is not a ritual. It's a relationship. It is a back and forth. It's the kind of thing where we're having this this intimate conversation with a God who's interested in us. You know what a ceremony is. You know what a ritual is. We're familiar with it because we've all been to a wedding. You stand in a certain place. We all going to begin in the right way. We're going to line up. We got to walk, but not too fast down the aisle. Then we're going to stand there. We're going to repeat certain words. And then at the end, boom, we're married, right? And so, and it doesn't really, all of the details, unless we do it just perfectly, then we're afraid that it's not going to work. That's not prayer at all. We shouldn't put that kind of strict, rigid structure around it. It's so much more relationship oriented than that. Let me give you this one more verse before we move on to the second point. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 and 12. Jesus, our Father, says this to us, "I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I give you a hope and a good future. Then you will call my name, you will come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you." See, he gives us a hope and a future. He desires for us to experience all of his goodness. We can always be confident in that. The second truth that I want you to know about prayer is that God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. He listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. Jesus, in the text in Matthew chapter 6, the disciples come to him, and it's interesting what they ask him. The disciples don't ask the Lord, "How do I preach better?" They don't ask the Lord, how do I tell the gospel better? They don't ask the Lord, how do I do this or that? They ask, "How do I pray better? How do we teach us how to pray?" they say to the Lord. And in right before he gives them that instruction, which we call the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, he tells them this about prayer. It's something that we don't want to miss. It's really key in verse 5 of chapter 6 of Matthew. He says, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men." So the whole thing about hypocrites, right, is they want to look good, but they're not really being good. All right, they want to impress people about what they look like, but not necessarily, they're being inconsistent always with the way that their life actually is. So they pray so that others would hear them, right? They pray these beautiful prayers, and they pray them very loud, and they make sure that people are impressed. And he says, "I'll tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full." They've impressed some people, they've impressed some men, and that's all that they're gonna get is the accolades of human beings. Jesus goes on, he says, "Instead, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling on and on like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them," he says, "for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Now, we see so many things in this passage which are wonderful for us and for our instruction. And one is this, that when we pray, our goal is not to show off. Our goal should never be to try to pray an impressive prayer so that the people around us would go, "Oh, wow, what a beautiful prayer," right? And sometimes we'll do that. We'll try to use big words. We'll use the these and the thous. Suddenly we'll begin to speak in King James English, and we'll pull vocabulary words out that we don't normally use. We get really good at our Christian terms. And the truth is that it's not really about that at all. Jesus says, this is not about impressing the people around us. Certainly God is not impressed by the words that we use. He invented all the words. He's not impressed by the way that we can string them together and somehow respond because we've prayed a beautiful prayer. He also says, don't pray on and on. Don't just repeat things. Don't use a lot of filler words. There's no need for us just to make our prayers longer. We have to remember, longer is not stronger when it comes to prayer. But we have a tendency to do that. We just kind of we pray the same prayer three or four times in a row. Have you ever been in a circle with others that are praying, and you listen to this other person praying? You're saying, "Man, well, you prayed that. You're praying the same thing again. You're just praying it in three different ways." I mean, it's just a challenge of how many different ways you can say the same thing over and over again. And we just have to remember that God is not impressed by long prayers. He's not impressed by beautiful prayers. He's not impressed by big words. He's simply impressed by sincerity and clarity. And so the best prayers are oftentimes the shortest, simplest prayers. They're the ones that come straight from the heart. I think that's why children's prayers are oftentimes some of the most powerful prayers, because there's not a lot of putting on. They're not trying to put on an attitude, a way of impressing others. They're not trying to impress God or you with their prayers. They're simply pouring out their heart to God. And we just get sidetracked here all the time. When we pray for our meals, sometimes we just need to say, man, God, thanks for In-N-Out Burger. There's nothing as good as In-N-Out. Thanks for making hamburgers. We just have got to get a little bit more simple, a little bit more sincere. I fall into this as a pastor. It's very easy as people are coming up perhaps and want prayer at the end of a service. They'll tell me their issue. Maybe it's a prayer they're going into for a surgery or they have an issue with their family. It's very easy for me then to just pray this very long prayer. And the truth is that there's not power in long prayers necessarily. Sometimes it's just need to say, Lord, would you help in this situation? We need you, God. Would you please heal? Because we don't have the answer. You're the only one that heals. And we just can move right along because the Lord hears our prayer. Look at this, Hebrews 10, 22. Let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith. What is it that God wants to hear? He wants to hear a sincere heart and a sure faith. All right. We've talked about how God loves us to talk to Him. Number one. Number two, God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. And then thirdly, our third foundational truth about prayer is that God likes to show His goodness by answering prayer. I think it's so cool. God actually, He wants to display how good He is. He wants to demonstrate his great love for you, His goodness towards you, His mercy and His grace. He wants to pour out gifts upon us. He wants to answer our prayers. He's actually just waiting for us to ask so that He can do that which we have requested. John 33, verse 3 says this, "Call to Me and I will answer you. I will show you marvelous and wonderful things that you could never figure out on your own." God is asking us, would you please just ask? Would you tell me what you need? Would you tell me what's on your heart? Go ahead and make your request because He actually wants to answer our prayers. Another verse, Matthew 7, verse 11. If you, being imperfect and sinful parents, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? See, Jesus says here, listen, as bad as you are at parenting, right, which we're all pretty limited in our parenting, He says, you still know how to give good gifts to your kids. You still love to give your kids gifts at Christmas time and birthdays. And there's a joy that we receive to see them open those gifts and see the brightness in their eyes and the laughter on their lips and see them enjoy that thing that we've gotten them. We understand that as parents naturally. And even though we're limited and we're weak in our parenting, we figure that out. And He says, how much more our perfect Father in heaven wants to give us good gifts? He's like looking for excuses to answer your prayers. He's looking for excuses to give you good stuff. But oftentimes we just haven't asked. We haven't actually expressed the dreams that are in our heart. We haven't asked God for help in these areas of our life that He so desperately is waiting for us to lift up to Him. James 4, 2, you do not have because you do not ask God. Boy, if that doesn't say it, I'm not sure what would. Many times we will never receive an answer unless we pray. We won't get that problem solved. We won't find the healing. We won't find the answer unless we simply ask the one who can actually do something about it. And so many times we say, God is he's too busy, or this is such a small thing, or we don't really want to bother Him with this, or whatever reason we come up with, excuses that we come up with why we wouldn't ask God for something. We just have to just drop all those pretenses and just begin to share our heart with Him. As we do that, we'll discover that He loves to answer our prayer. Now, when it comes to answering prayers, we know that God answers prayers in a variety of different ways. One man said that there's four possible answers to our prayer, right? God can say yes, He can say no, He can say not yet, or He can say, what the heck? What in the world would you ask for that? I mean, we know that there are many times we're asking for things that God is simply not going to answer because it's not good for us. It's actually terrible for us. And He knows that if He were to answer that prayer, it would destroy us. And so sometimes he just says, hey, you know, we're just going to wait on this one for a little while. But all of that is part of this ongoing conversation that we're having with him. See, sometimes the answer when God says no to a prayer, sometimes he's doing that for our protection. He's actually protecting us from something that could destroy us in our lives. And so he says, no, I'm not going to give you that, because actually it would hurt you. Sometimes he says no because he wants to correct us. It's for our correction. There's a desire that's in our heart that's wrong, or we don't understand the situation well. And so he's actually trying to correct us and bring us back into course. And so he'll say no. Sometimes he says no for our direction. He's actually guiding us. He's leading us on his pathway and his direction. Ultimately, we want his destiny in our lives. And so sometimes he says no because he's inspecting us. You know, he's saying, no, there's something going on inside of you in your heart, and there's something that you need to deal with. And he begins to draw us into that place where we respond to him by saying no to our prayer. But he always, always, always wants us to ask. He loves to answer. Number four, the fourth truth here, beginning about prayer, is that God longs to be close to me. God longs to be close to me. He actually wants to come near to us and have a close relationship with us. And prayer is not just about sending up a request and then him sending back the answer. It's actually about this close relationship and communication that we have with God, that we're actually walking with him day by day. And as we're communicating with him, as we're growing in our ability to pray with him, as we're growing in this continuing relationship that really is supposed to be happening all throughout the day at all times, that we find that we are closer and closer to the Lord, that our relationship with him is growing and we begin to grow as people. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, the Lord waits for you to come to him so that he can show you his love and compassion. See, if you feel distance from God today, we have to ask the question, who is it that moved? So the Lord doesn't move away from us. We move away from him. All it really requires is for us to take one step towards the Lord, and he runs to us. And then he's right there next to us. I think of the story of the prodigal son, this parable that Jesus tells about the son that really abandons his father, takes his inheritance and squanders it and ruins his life and falls to the worst depths that are imaginable. And the father is so heartbroken, and you would imagine that the father would be so angry at the son for doing all of this and for wasting his inheritance and for falling into just the depths of immorality and doing the worst things that you can imagine. But Jesus says that's not the way that the Father is. He actually waits for the Son. He's there at his house looking and hoping that the Son will come to his senses and make the trip back. And in the story, he says, you know, one morning here, the Son decides to return. He begins the trek back, and the Father early in the morning gets up. You know, he's standing on the porch. I envision him in my mind with his morning coffee, and he's looking into the distance, and he sees down the road, and he sees the Son. And he says, oh, is that my boy? Has he come back? And instead of just waiting, he said, oh, yeah, that's right. He finally came to his senses, you know. Let him crawl back on his knees. Instead of doing those things that oftentimes we do, the father runs and throws his coffee cup down and runs down the road, and he embraces the son, because that's the way that God is in terms of his desire to be close to us. He wants to be right next to us. He wants to experience life with us. Prophet Hosea says in chapter 6, verse 6, and this is the Lord speaking to the people of Israel, is the Lord speaking really to us. He says, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. And people of Israel, they started getting confused about what it was that God wanted. They thought it, you know, was a ritual. They had to do things in a certain way. They had to offer sacrifices to the Lord. We do the same thing in terms of our prayers and our relationship with God. Oh, it's got to be in just exactly the right way. I didn't go to church enough. I didn't pray enough. I didn't repeat the Our Father enough, or whatever it is. And God says, no. That's not what it's about. It's about your love. It's about our heart. It's about our desire to know him and walk with him. I love how Jesus says it in John chapter 15. He's talking with his disciples, and he says, I'm not going to call you servants any longer. You're my friends. I've called you friends. That's the kind of friendship that God wants to have with us. He says it to you and he says it to me. He says, I like you and I want to spend time with you. See, there's people that we like. They're our friends. You know, there's people that I related to I have to hang out with. There's people I work with, I got to work with them, right? You know, many times we don't choose those people. And we can get along with them, but there's something unique that happens with our friends. Our friends are people we hang out with because we like them. And Jesus says, that's the kind of relationship I want to have with you. I like you. I want to hang out with you. I want to be close to you. I want you to tell me about your issues and your troubles and your problems and what's on your heart. And I want you to complain to me. So I love it in the Psalms. It's just, there's so many Psalms that are just complaints. Just the one after the other, telling God how miserable the person is. They're praying and just complain and complain and complain. And God says, I want to hear all of it. I want to hear all of it because I'm your friend. I'm not only willing to listen, I want to listen. James 4 says this, I draw close to God and he will draw close to you. See, the key for us in prayer, the key for us in relationship with God is that we have to get closer to him. We have to move towards him and build our relationship with him. There's a few people in the Bible, Noah, Enoch, Moses, that were known as being close to God. They walked with God. They spent time with God. The way that we can get closer to God is we have to, number one, we have to desire it. We have to decide, I want to be close to God. And then secondly, we have to give time to it. We have to say, oh, okay, and not only do I want it, but I'm willing to do something about it. I'm going to set time aside to pray, to communicate, to talk with God, to be close to him, to spend time with him. I'll leave you with this statement, which is just a cutesy rhyme, but it'll help you remember. Simply this, the closer I am to God, the less stressed and the more blessed I will be. I told you it was corny. The less stressed and the more blessed I will be, the closer I am to God. There's something about being close to God that really frees us from the weight of the world. So many times we carry things on our own. We carry anxiety and stress and pressure. We don't have the answers. We're overwhelmed. We don't know where to turn. We find ourselves, before you know it, we've got a headache. We're tired. We're escaping into sleep. We're escaping into whatever methods or modes of entertainment or that we can find to just to get away. The answer for us, the answer that'll give us life, the answer that we're invited into is to be close to God. The answer is to build our relationship with him through this thing called prayer, to begin to open our mouths, to begin to tell him what's in our heart, to invite him into every day, to ask him just very simply. We need to stop being embarrassed about how our prayers sound. We just need to start talking. Just start relating and start emoting to him because he wants to hear us. He wants to be close to us. He wants to know us. And that's what we're invited into. In this next 40-day period, as we're studying in this area of prayer, I just want to invite you, wherever you're at in prayer, we can always grow closer to God. We can always grow bigger in our prayers, not more impressive, but more honest. Not longer, but more sincere. Wherever you're at, I just want to invite you to stretch and to grow, that you would commit yourself every day to pray, that you would get into a group. We have groups online. We have groups that you can sign up for that meet in person. You need to get a hold of the curriculum if you can get a hold of the curriculum. But be engaged in this process, in this project of learning how to pray at a deeper level. I'm believing and I'm knowing that God is going to answer prayers in ways that he's never answered before. We're going to talk and hear testimonies. We're going to learn how to pray in different ways. We're going to learn how to pray in difficult circumstances. We're going to learn what to do when God says no. There's many things that we're going to look at, but we have to begin simply by saying, I'm going to commit to pressing into this area. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I just ask that as we engage for this next 40 days, that you would help us to grow in prayer. We want to be close to you. Lord, we need to be changed by you. I just pray that we as a people would learn how much you love us and that we would be willing to open our mouths so that we could learn how to pray. Teach us, Lord Jesus, how to pray. In your name, amen.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com and if you want to support our ministry, click give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.